For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Cindy Burgess Gerson, what an amazing person. Jason, our gay son, Andrews.
Just saying. Okay.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme.
And our super-duper premium sponsor, Kelly Grant, the most gorgeous girl in Texas. We love you. Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast. And here I am with my traveling little friend, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender podcast. Hello, Bean.
Hello there. Hello, greetings from sunny Austin, Texas.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
That's right.
That's all I wanted.
It's all I wanted. Yes, I have traveled to the middle of the country because why not? Actually, I'm here to see the opening night of Singing in the Rain at the Zach Theater in Austin, Texas. Everyone should go see it. Yay!
I'm so gel on so many levels. Hey, while you're there, ask Dave Stakely if he wants us to do a Crappens over there at the Zach Scott. They have that smaller theater, too. Yeah, ask him.
Who knows? Maybe, you know, I mean, Austin City Limits is starting up, like, tomorrow or something. So maybe that'll be a good excuse to scout out some locations. Although the truth is I'm going up to Oakland tomorrow. So I'm on my own little cross-country tour. I'm touring the country without a tour.
Well, Stakely will be there tonight, so mention it.
I will. Because, you know, we've been talking about going to Dallas, but we could just as easily go to Austin or Houston. Who knows?
Well, I love Crappens because Crappens Live gives me the opportunity to perform places like I normally wouldn't get to, like the Gotham Comedy Club in New York. My comic friends are like, really, really, Ronnie? That's not fair. I'm like, see?
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, really? Like, as if it wasn't cool. What? It's really, really like it's cool.
Yeah, that's great. Of course. Yeah. And Zach Scott is an amazing theater. They've had stuff go to Broadway, okay?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, what I'm actually really excited for is our podcast to get to the point where we can start booking the houses that are like 1,000 people, because there are sort of are more of them. And it's just like, it's super cool. Like to be like a real theater. Not that our venues are not like quote unquote real ones. They've all been awesome.
Yeah. But, geez,
like,
man.
It's just like a really nice, like feather to be like, wow, like the Zach Theater in Austin or the Kennedy Center in DC. LOL.
Hello, the Kennedy Center Honors.
Carnegie Hall. Hey, I can dream, right? Siggy's inspired me.
What if we get a Kennedy Center Honor? And Trump's like, this show is Big Lee. This show is Big Lee. The Siggy, I'm telling you.
Normally I would say that a Kennedy Center Honor is a bit far off for us, but these days everything's a little topsy-turvy, so we accept.
Yeah, the world has gone so crazy, you never know.
Yeah, by the way, there actually are still tickets available for the San Francisco show, which is very exciting. Speaking of cool venues, Social Hall San Francisco, I don't know where we are with our VIP tickets, because I went, it looked like there were still VIP tickets, but then someone said that there weren't any or not. We don't know. But either way, the supplies are limited and they're running out. So if you are interested in taking the plunge, going to the Bay Area to see us on November 4th, do it.
Because... Oh, my God. We're so excited for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Super excited. So guess what else I'm excited about? And I can't believe I'm saying this.
What?
New Jersey's back. You know, I never thought I would say that. I'm so excited for Jersey. The past couple of years really have been kind of a slog, even though last year we loved, despite its sluggishness.
I wouldn't say that we loved last year, but I feel like we saw signs of life. Like Siggy and Dolores were like, we felt like the show was on the right track. And I stand by that. I stand by that. And like you, I was also very excited for the season, mainly because there was an absolutely epic trailer.
Yeah, that trailer was amazing. And maybe not loved last season, but laughed. Like, we laughed a lot doing those recaps. And this time I thought, oh, God, they've got an uphill battle, you know? And then the way this episode starts, I thought, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, God.
Yeah, same. I was like, what will these producers ever learn that we are sick of Real Housewives of New Jersey opening with a somber piano? Do we always, every single season, it's like, blum, blum, blum. It's like the trials and tribulations of Teresa.
What is Teresa sad about today? But this one, of course, is like a serious, like legitimate sad. Legit. So that made me feel even worse, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's so sad. And then it's all told in black and white because Teresa's mom died. And it really was, I mean, Jesus God.
Yeah, that's, I mean, like, you know, that's just, it's terrible. And it's a part of life, unfortunately, but it's not a part that anyone looks forward to and hopefully can be put off for as long as possible. And it was really sad. And
then sort of
made me start to think about, what about my parents? And I was like, oh no. And I was, you know, thankfully, it was over before. We didn't like live in it too long.
Well, our hugs going out. Now that said, of course there was still some funny shit in there. I love that she was like, I'm going to miss my mom. She took so many pictures. And then it's just a clip of her mom taking pictures of her. It's like, oh, this is the sweetest memory. And then her lawyer date, he's getting really big. So I'm wondering if they're together, because that's rumored. You know, the internet, the internet guys.
Yeah.
And then also I love that children wear skin tight gold lamé jumpsuits to funerals in New Jersey. I mean, does it get better than that?
I'm glad you said that, because in a few minutes, I'm gonna have some comments that may get me in trouble talking about children's wardrobe, and I was like, should I touch this? But now that you've touched it, I feel like now the floodgates are open. So yes, I'm glad you said that. Thank you.
Yes, not making fun of anybody dying or any pain or anything.
Even making fun of the children.
Girl, there's like a 10-year-old child in a gold lamé jumpsuit at a funeral. You know, it makes me want to move to Jersey. Just seems like so much fun. I want a onesie.
Well, when I was watching this, so I didn't watch it on TV. I was watching it on Bravo's website because I'm traveling. And it appeared that we did not have an opening credits, right? Because we saw funeral, it was sad, and then it sort of like faded out or dissolved into the state of New Jersey. And like Real Housewives of New Jersey is all serious and sad, right? We did not get something like, when I'm out of prison, I run the house, but I'm not locked up like in a house. I don't know. That's what I imagine Teresa's line would be. I may be in lockup, but I hold the key to a door.
I may do yoga, but I also like yogurt.
I may be in a downward dog, but I'm up with life.
We didn't get the whole lines thing, but we did get Teresa crying and fanning her face, and then it went plink. Like one final sad plink. And then it brought up the Real Housewives of New Jersey. And it still showed them all pausing in those wind machine poses. Now, why does New Jersey get the wind machine? Because no one can take it. They all look like, oh, Jesus, it's the wind. Like they're trying to pose. Their giant eyelashes are fluttering. Like, especially Teresa. Teresa's like, what do I do? What do I do? Tell me again. What do I do? Well, what do I turn?
What do I do? Huh? I just want you to know they're not actually in front of a wind machine. They're just standing behind a New Jersey Transit bus.
Huh? It's hot. Greyhound, it's hot. Hot. Huh?
Dolores is like, how long we take this photo? I got to get on the bus. You know, I got to go to my gym. I lost my car's in the shop. I got to take the bus. Got to get there. Maz is going to be mad. I'm like, okay, well, now you know what? Now Maz is mad. Frank moved back in. What am I going to do? Okay, can we take the photo? I'll get on the bus.
Oh, Dolores. Even Dolores has a storyline that I'm behind this year.
the storyline, which is we got to get more furniture for Frank, okay? Gonna go to Pier 1, gonna go to Pottery Barn. I'm gonna look at all of them. I don't know. Kmart, you know, Kmart has tables. Look, I went to get a bed, but I got a massage table instead. You know what? Like, you know what? I can't do it.
Frank, don't hurt Frankie. Don't hurt. Well, she did talk like that last year. She had a lot to say about her kitchen. And this year, did she even mention the kitchen? It's like, it's just over the kitchen.
You know what? It's like, you know what? The kitchen's there. It's fixed. And like, I got to move on in life. I got to part. But Frankie, you know, he's moving on to college. I'm only gonna have so many months left to take, you know, naked photos of him. And it's hard.
Naked photos of Frankie. Take off your shirt, Frankie. Oh, gosh. So handsome.
Oh, gosh. Look at those abs. Look at those abs. One ab for every tear I'm going to shed when he leaves. So a lot of abs.
It's a keg of abs. So a keg of tears. Sorry. So it starts with, you know, crying and then plink, wind machine. And then it's like, ba-dum, da-dun, dun, da-dun. It's like, okay, glad we got over that quickly. And we're at Teresa's house and she's playing. She's doing that thing where it's Mr. Mom. Like that Joe Gorgon normally does, where he's like, I never have to do this alone. But it's Teresa.
Yeah, exactly. She's waking up the girls. Jazz been gone for a year, but he's lost weight. He got his GED. You know, he found someone to hold on to the inside of his pocket. I don't know what that means, but I think it's cute.
He's always got someone looking for change in his pockets for him.
I think it's fun they play that game where it's like, you know, your best friend holds your pocket. That's nice. So
he's got a new friend with somebody named my bitch.
So I'm gonna try to say this as delicately as possible so I don't get into too much trouble. And this is really more about Teresa than Adriana. It's really not about Adriana because she's just a kid. But the shirt that Adriana's wearing, I'm like, first of all, it wouldn't look good on an adult, but it was just like, it was so Jersey trashy. It's just like, did you notice it was like this black shirt with kind of like these cutouts on the sleeve with little strings across it? It looked like it was like a discard from that movie Cookie from the 80s, you know, with Peter Falk.
I'm looking at it right now. I actually have the video pulled up because there was so much in this episode to talk about. Yes, I do see. It's cute. It's like Justice. It's like Justice Housewife. You know, the store for kids.
I don't know what that is.
Well, at least it's just stringy on the sleeves. My favorite is that she came with a full housewife makeover this season. Like her hair is done. She's got like real cute clothes. She's got, I think, fake little baby eyelashes.
I just, you know what it is? I hate to see Jersey fashions inculcated into a girl at such a young age. I feel like let her have a few years of like normal fashion before she goes down the trashy route, you know?
Well, look, kids in Rome didn't wear jeans, okay? They'd look weird. They had to wear sheets.
I feel like I'm always the one who's like going in on some kitty thing, and people must think I'm the biggest asshole. And you're right. You're right.
You know why I don't go on kids' clothes? Because my sister and I did this. Let's scan old photos for our parents for their anniversary. Ben, I mean, I'm not like any fashion queen now, okay? You all know I'm an Old Navy queen. But you should have seen what the 80s, what I did to the 80s, actually. Like, that shit was even terrible for the 80s. Like, full-on jumpsuits from Gadzooks that are, like, white with zebra stripes.
But it's okay to have dumb kids' clothes, you know? Like, you don't, like, that's what we all go through. We look at our photos in the dumb kids' clothes. But to have, like, something that, like, Sammy from Jersey Shore would have worn on a bad day, and then to, like redo it for something that, like, your kid would wear, it's just, like, I just feel like we can do better as a society. I feel like Adriana deserves better.
Guys, it takes a village to dress an Adriana, okay? Let's all help. I was noticing the breakfast more because Adriana's posing with a banana on her head. And I was like, that really does symbolize this family so well. She's doing
the tree pose.
Pose with a banana on her head, which, you know, banana is very Judas. Yeah. But then Teresa, one of them, which one didn't like the waffles?
That was Gia. Gia rejected her Eggo waffles, which was blasphemy.
Yeah, Gia is still basically Kristen from Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah. She's like, oh, mom, like, it's a soggy waffle.
Yeah. You want a grape? You want a banana? You want a waffle? Like, what kind of choice is this?
And by the way, what do you think you put on a waffle? Syrup, okay? The whole point is supposed to get soggy. Enjoy it.
Don't pre-syrup your waffles, okay?
Yeah, and by the way, you're not always going to have someone to make you waffles, all right? Enjoy that waffle. You know, you should be so lucky to have someone to make you a waffle.
Even I don't have anyone in to the make toaster. Waffle. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You got a mother to toast your waffles, damn it. So, yeah. Tree, of course, her first line in this scene is, it's been a tough few years. I was away. I was on my vacation for so long. And then Joe and now my ma. And then she's like, anyone want bacon? It's like the way the show cuts back and forth.
And the hottest part of all is that Gio won't even eat my waffles anymore.
I got good days. I got bad days. I got waffles. I got soggy waffles. I also got grapes. You want grapes? You want grapes?
I got waffles with grapes on them. Waffles with grapes, huh?
Pineapple.
Meanwhile, in a study of contrast, Melissa is over at her kitchen offering her kids turkey, which is exciting. I'm like, it's good to see that Melissa's still doing nothing interesting.
Who wants turkey? You want some sliced turkey? Anyone? Nicholas, Joey, Antonia, turkey. Anyone want turkey? Turkey?
But it's like this season on Real Housewives of New Jersey, Melissa finally gets someone to eat turkey.
Someone steals Melissa's turkey. Like, I love that with Melissa, something's always someone else's fault. So she goes on with this about how hard it's been, and she's like, I learned with this that I want to work to live and not live to work. I'm like, when did you live to, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Stop blaming your failed store on the, or your failing store on this, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, please.
Let so each Joe depressing is... thing be its own depressing thing.
So Joe is sad. Can you hear? Still hear my microphone? Something popped up on my laptop being like, no.
I was like, Ben hung up on me. Yeah, I can hear you.
No, my, because I'm holding my microphone.
Yeah, Ben's doing that thing when you're in the hotel and there's no mic stand. So you're walking around like you're doing stand up.
Yeah, well, the thing is, though, my mic is heavy because it's the mic with the bass. So it's resting on my Laura Dern T-shirt. And I don't want it to ruin my I don't want it to, like, scrape off the Laura Dern from the T-shirt. So I'm trying to, like, rearrange it. And as I do it, it's like my laptop's like, stop it. Stop it.
Oh, my
God. No.
Which Laura Dern? Like, which iteration?
Diane, Twin Peaks, Laura Dern.
Ermergerd. I love Laura Dern.
Yeah. In fact, today when I went to Snooze of Austin for breakfast, I was wearing it and a girl was like, oh my God, I love your T-shirt. And I was like, thank you so much. You know, that's all I live for is wearing things that people say I love. So,
yeah. Like, you know, it never happens. Could we do a story with you saying that again?
Anyway.
I love Laura Dern and also Dolores's little tiny dog. So yes, Dolores is like, dog. Life, yeah, dog, the Chiron dog. Dolores is like, life is like an hourglass and the sand is running through. Someone had to write that down.
I know, it's just so funny because it's like not a terribly profound thought. You know, like it's literally the opening of Days of Our Lives.
Every time I look at my watch, it's later than the last time. But it's now. But then I look at it again, and it's not now anymore. It's later, but then it's still now. You know what I mean? Yes, Dolores.
Life is like, you know what life is like? It's like a period of existence when you're alive. That's what life is like.
And what's with this week, all the housewives talking about how they're going to die? Earlier, we had Vicky getting a colonic, being like, they have a little bit of life left. I just need to be friends with Tamra. I'm dying. And now Dolores is like, life is an hourglass. And the sand, it's running out. I'm like, this isn't Scrabble, okay? You guys are fine. You've got a little more in your life glass.
We're running out of time. There's not even enough time to name the dog. So we just called the dog, dog, dog. Which is, by the way, still a better name than Girly Girl.
Yeah, she's like, will you go get something out of my new friend, the Cabinet? His name is Cabinet. Thanks, Dolores. So she's updating us, and she's like, my kid is graduating. She got into vet school, and then there's Frankie, who's my little shadow. He's going to be going to college.
And then, like, in the middle of this, they just, like, cut to this, like, airbrushed hot photo of Frankie shirtless. She's like, he's my shadow, and it's like him in sexy photos.
Yeah, nothing says honor roll like a photo of your kid with his bang barely touching his eye while he's, like, dewy on the face and his mouth open in model pose.
See you in Yale.
Yeah.
So
see you at the spelling bee, Frankie.
So then Frank comes back, and Frank is Dolores' ex, and he's like, hey, I'm back at home, everybody. Okay, things are gonna be regimented now. I'm back, you know. And Dolores is like, Frank and his girlfriend are on what I call the hamster wheel of an argument. You know, they just, that's an argument they can't get out of. They're just rolling and running and running and running and running and running. And then you throw a little bit of shavings in them and they still, they take a shit and they get back on the wheel. And then maybe they drink some water and they get around. But, you know, you put them in a maze. They have a good time. You know, I used to have a maze. You know, Frank used to have a little hamster. He used to run around the house all the time. You put him in a ball, they run around the house. But, you know, he's growing up. He's going to college. And I'm like, Dolores, stop. Stop.
Please stop saying people are in hamster wheels when you're bringing your ex-husband back into the house. Hello. And he's carrying the Gucci bag, which is obviously hers, this huge Gucci bag. And then he's bringing in a pink rolling suitcase. I was like, this guy never even bought his own luggage. Like, he never planned on staying anywhere. So he's like, hey, it's Father Bear. Father Bear's home, okay? And it turns out the Gucci bag is full of just protein shakes.
Yeah.
Lots
things would be a lot different around here from now on. Protein shakes in every cupboard. I bought these cabinets. And I'm going to stock these cabinets. Protein shakes everywhere.
She's like, I got one request. Do not put your protein shakes in the wrong cabinet. And don't beat Frankie. Please don't beat Frankie. I was like, what's going on with these two that she's so scared for poor little Frankie?
Listen, from now on, it's going to be Frank's way. No, like literally whey protein. It's all over the place. Okay.
It's going to be Frank's whey.
Whey.
So she shows him to his room, and he's like, what is this, the massage table? The stains on there, huh? The stains. I'm not sleeping on that. She's like, I'm busy, Frank. I got three businesses, a gym, and then she didn't mention the other one.
Yeah, she didn't. She didn't. I think we're going to have to assume it's another gym. You know, Maz and I, we did so well. The gym was so good, and I sort of feel like I'm here. I am woman hearing you roar, but that's such a cliche. I don't want to be a cliche, but you know, I was talking to my therapist, and you know, Boo's been dead for a year, and I need a real lift me up. It's hard with Maz and the two gyms and working out and everything. And I thought I can roar, but I can't bark like Boo because Boo's dead. You know, it's sad. Frankie's going to college.
Oh, Frankie, right in the beginning of this, my first prediction: Frankie's not going to college. And I love when I can be so right so quickly, or at least not right now. So next, okay, so I have to say, by the way, I'm so calm today. I have no idea why.
That's fine.
I'm just chill going through this.
I'm amped on coffee and Michelada, which I had earlier.
So I was looking at the Facebook group today, and people were talking about how much they hate Siggy.
Why? What? I love Siggy.
She's annoying the hell out of everyone. Because she's just so...
That's her thing.
She's so much... She's so bullhorn Siggy, you know? But I was dying. Like, her first line is, I need a spoon? A spoon? What is a spoon? A fork! A fork! I need a fork!
A fork. It's like she's on some game show. It was the Alanis Morissette ironic game show. I need a spoon. I need a knife. I need a knife. It's just... I get spoons. I need a knife.
She's playing Celebrity Pyramid with herself. She's like, it's okay, me and the most talented actor in the world, Siggy.
Okay, this is a thing you eat soup with. Spoon, yes, got it. Okay, this is something you might scoop up something with. It's not a fork, it's not a knife, also a spoon. Yes, got it. All right, next.
Spork? Come on, Siggy, stop relying on your looks. So now we get a mystery bald man coming to the house, and... Turns out it's Michael Campanella, who's decided to film this year. I don't know why.
Yeah. He only appeared for like a second last year, but now this time he got the fame bug in him, and now he's appearing everywhere.
So we get the at-home scenes we never got last year. You want a salad? You want a salad, Campanella? Look, I'm pouring some water from a pitcher. You want some water from a pitcher? What is this, a spoon or a fork? Tell me. Do not tell me. I don't want to cheat.
Guess what? It's a spoon and a fork. What a wonderful world. They have sporks. It's the best of both worlds.
I'm feeling that empty nest syndrome. It's very hard letting go of Real Housewives of New York voices to transfer into Jersey.
Yeah, it is a little tricky. I'm trying my best.
Like that, I feel like Dorinda. But that's Siggy's nothing like Dorinda.
You know what? You know what, Ronnie? In your life, you could be whatever you want. If you want to be Dorinda, be Dorinda. Me, personally, I'll be Dreyfus because I'm in an empty nest phase right now.
And her kid is going to college too, so she's like, I'm so into it. Look at this thing I got in the mail today. It's a pointing finger. I also got the sheets. I got the comforter. I got the towels with it. I got the toilet paper. I got tweezers. It's a very, very tiny pointing finger on the tweezers, but I got it. I'm so excited.
I'm so sad for Joshua to drive away to college. I hope he runs over many, many, many trash can lids.
Tiny finger, tiny finger. Hey, before you go, give your mother a kiss and give this tiny finger a kiss.
Because Sophie comes through because she's like, I'm going out with friends. Going out with friends? What about me? Isn't Siggy Flicker your best friend? I'm only the most talented human being in the whole world, and now you're leaving me.
Do not make me cry. And Campanella's like, we're alone. You want to go upstairs? Take the little finger. Please take the little finger. So more sad music. It's like pling, pling. It goes from
bling,
bum, 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 the tiny finger. Tiny finger, empty nest to tiny finger, empty nest.
Life goes on, so yeah. Do we. Just how we do it is no mystery.
So this is another really sad scene. Now this is Tree and Joe and their dad packing stuff at the mom's house. And well, it's really sad. Do we have to talk about it?
No, I mean, all that we know is that basically, you know, the dad wants to sell the house and they're going to move him in with Tree. And it's just, it's actually like just sad and too real. So why don't we move on to something more exciting? The Envy Boutique.
Envy. Now we get the new employees, Jen and Alyssa.
Yeah. Now this cracked me up. I don't know if you noticed this, but like the store girl was like, hey, Melissa, how are you? And Melissa goes, nothing much. I mean, we've all done that. I've totally done that before. But for some reason, to me, that typifies Melissa because, you know, she doesn't listen to this bitch.
Yeah, Melissa never listens. And she walks in and basically she's got one glitter dress in the front now and then a bunch of shirts that say Envy.
She's very happy because now she's the full owner of the Envy Boutique. And as we saw in the tabloids on a very, very, very slow news day, Jackie stole all the clothes in the middle of the night and took them to Posh. And I was so grateful that this entire saga was just contained to like 5 minutes in the first episode.
Jackie and I decided to dissolve our partnership. And then it cuts to Jackie and her tutu. Like, you can't have everything in a size two. And then Melissa being upset. Like, why not?
See, I don't get it.
That was so hilarious. And I wonder if everything in there is like a size 2 now.
Yeah, it probably is. And it also has Envy on it. It's just probably just like t-shirts, black t-shirts.
Melissa's always been kind of on my nerves, but it's hard not to side with Jackie just because she wears tutus and has Anne Burrell hair.
Yeah. I actually never really liked Jackie. And as stupid as this Envy Boutique was, I thought it was really shitty that Jackie was always down in the Bahamas or something, you know, like during important dates for this fake boutique.
No one's ever there. I think this is the first time Melissa's shown up because she was like, oh, hi, girls. Oh, it's been so great working hard. It's like, you've not worked here. You're shocked at the first dress you see. You're like, oh, my God, I picked this out from a line sheet. That's lingo. I learned.
I think it's super cool to have your own boutique. Like, that's very fun. And I really do respect all entrepreneurs out there, given that we're sort of entrepreneurs in our own way. But she honestly acts like she just launched Microsoft 95 or something, you know?
95.
Not even a good Microsoft. I just got an M&M delivery. My boo just brought me some M&Ms right now, and I'm very excited about this. I'll save them for after the show.
God, that keeps coming back on this podcast, M&Ms. What kind?
Yeah, I don't think he even realizes that we just had a whole conversation about M&Ms on the podcast 2 days ago.
What kind?
It's just a good boo. Peanut M&Ms.
Yum, my favorite.
And in fact, one of our listeners, I forget who it was. I'm so sorry. I think it's like... I feel really bad about this. I always am like one of our listeners because we get so many tweets I never remember. But someone said that we should really check out the caramel M&Ms.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole M&M conversation right now online.
Yeah. I'm sorry to derail everything.
I need to go to like a CVS where there's a million different kinds of M&Ms. So you can actually choose between all the different flavors.
You know, there's a gas station. There's a mobile station on Santa Monica and Kings in West Hollywood. That they famously had that like burrito vending machine, and they have like the largest variety of candy in all of Los Angeles.
Okay, well there. Now I know where I'm going after the show.
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of things that will rot your teeth, Melissa starts talking about Kim D, and she starts talking about how Kim D is like a rat. It's always looking for. She's like, she's a rat who's always looking for a piece of cheese. And sometimes that rat comes at the sewer and she gets a piece of cheese. And then she brings the cheese back down into the sewer. And then she like eats a little bit of the cheese and puts it to the side. And she goes back and eats some more cheese. And she comes back looking for more cheese. Like, okay, Melissa, we get it. We understand.
Yeah, you just say what's going on with Melissa this year? She's talking a lot more and she's doing a lot of animal stories, you know? Like she does a few in this one and they're really long. She's like, you know, the rat with the cheese and how it comes out of the sewer and it looks for the cheese, but then it doesn't find the cheese, but then it found the cheese. It's like, good story.
It's like when you go to London and then there's like a rat who like controls the underworld and they're going to like destroy Big Ben. And then you have to like call up Basil on Baker Street and be like, there's a rat. That's like, Melissa, that was not a documentary. That was The Great Mouse Detective.
She's not even that interesting. She's just like, remember when there was that mouse and it came out and there was a mouse? It's like, you're never going to write a movie. You know?
Yeah, her animated movie is going to be about like an adorable mouse that opens up a boutique and then sells some maxi dresses.
Well,
and that's it.
She did find some good cheerleaders for this store because Jen's like, you was violated. You was violated. And she's like, yeah, it's my baby. This is my baby. And there were struggles. And then it cuts to Joe being like, you're a woman. I'm a man. Blink, blink. You can't work.
Yeah. Oh, I really wish the producers didn't even go back because that was truly Melissa's. I think last year was Melissa's worst season ever, where she had nothing to do. And this contrived storyline with Joe pretending to need her at home. They cannot go back into that same well.
Well, Melissa's definitely making an effort this year. I think someone came into the cast and they were like, look, guys, okay, make an effort. And so now she's like, okay, give me a list of animals or just general household pests and I'll do some really good scenes. I'll do some really good diary rooms. They're like, okay, it's something. It's an effort, you know?
She's like, you know what she's like? She's like a vole, you know? And you're like, oh gosh.
Here we go. Just stop it, rat. Just stop it, rat.
Yeah, it doesn't have to always be a rodent.
So Tree is with her dad and Gia at the house. And she's like, hey, Gia, you like a shirt? I bought it. You like these shoes for dad? I got it. You like these shoes? And he's like, $10. So another flower delivery comes. And they start talking about Danielle because they're from Danielle. And he's like, who this? And Gia goes, no. Remember when mommy flipped the table? That was Danielle. Oh, what a great way to be remembered.
Yeah. And so Tree tells the whole story about how she's, you know, when I was in jails is, you know, I had a lot of time to think and stuff. So I thought about Danielle. And it turns out, well, you know, I was mad about her because she went to jails too. And I realized I went to jails and then we could be jails together and we could do yoga jails. So now I like her again.
Oh, we go to yoga together. She could do hers on a pole. I mean, man, Danielle can really work that pole. Do you remember when she worked it?
Oh, I still have the image. Oh, like, my God. Head. She's those so legs. Good. And in stark contrast to Kim Granitelle, who could not work the pole to save her life. It's like trying to wrap a crowbar around a pole. It just doesn't work. Just sort of like clanks around and falls to the ground.
Oh, poor Kim G. So then all the girls come over. And someone brought Chinese food and Siggy brought a huge tray with grapes and wine, which is going to go great with the Chinese food. But also I'm just pointing this out because Siggy is bringing large trays to places now. That's her thing.
Yeah. That's
I love new patterns in the first episode.
I love that as a pattern, by the way. I like when anyone brings a large tray of something to where I am. Like, here, I brought some grapes, I brought some Tylenol, I brought some Cheez-It crackers, and I brought a little miniature speaker. I'm like, okay, great.
So and they're all on a huge tray.
So there are all these ladies that come over that are Teresa's friend, because Joe came by to, like, basically take Gia and the grandpa away, so that way Tree could have a ladies' night. So it was like, Lisa G, Lisa F, Rosanna, Lisa D, Rosanna P, Perry G, G Perry.
And then any random ones can just be wife of somebody named Joe.
I know. Like half of them were named Lisa.
Lisa. It was like Lisa A, Lisa B, Lisa D. We forgot C. But we'll find one. We will get a C.
Everyone on this show is basically named Lisa or Joe. So then Siggy and Dolores come over. Siggy with a tray, as you mentioned, Dolores. And Dolores like, well, you know, everyone, guess what? Big news. Frank moved back in and he came in. We just did the cabinets. We may have to do new cabinets. I don't know. This is what we're working with. You know, it's hard, you know, because Frank's moved in. Boo's dead. I got a new dog named Dog. I don't know what to do with my life, but you know, it's a lot. Frankie's moving out to college. I don't know.
And Siggy, are you out of your freaking mind? OMG. Dolores is like, yeah, well, I met this great guy. He's a doctor. You know, he delivers babies and he's wonderful and we're dating, but Frank is going to come back and everyone thinks it's so weird. But, you know, we're best friends. So, like, if I'm dating you, you're dating Frank. I mean, like, he has the best protein shakes in town. That's it. Like, you want me? You're going to have Frank's protein shakes. Just don't hit Frankie. That's all I ask.
Yeah. And Siggy's like, let me tell you something. If Michael Campanello knew that my ex was moving back in, he's going to be like, I don't think so. They're like, whoa, all the windows break. Meanwhile, everyone in this complex here in Austin is like, what is going on down in this apartment? What is this noise?
Well, even people at Tree's house were like, what the hell? Because she just keeps yelling everything. They're like, what happened to Siggy?
Dominique is shaking his head at me right now, by the way. He's like, what are these noises you're making on your podcast?
Are his eyes half shut? Because that's my favorite Dominic.
His eyes are a little half shut. Yeah.
Yeah. His eyes narrow. That's my favorite Dom look. I love it.
Dom just said rude to you.
I love him. So then they go, it's like fun. Look at our fortunes. And then Melissa's like, Joe and Tree took turns every night at the hospital. You guys, stop making it like really fun and then really cry and then really fun again. I can't take it, okay?
Yeah, and I also feel like these producers love to play up the martyr angle of Joe and Teresa. I think it's wonderful that they did that, and that's like, you know, what you should do and what a lot of families go through. But these producers really love just always, if they ever have a soundbite, what they can say, before Joe went away for prison, Teresa was there from every single day. Like, honestly, we already had like the little scene at the top of the show, you know, like, rest in peace to Teresa's mother. Very, very sad. I get it. I'm like ready to move on from the constant sadness in Teresa's life. And I understand it actually does play a plot point in this, but like you said, it's constant like womp, womp, womp.
Yeah. Well, guess who else is sick of it? Siggy. She's like, oh yeah, that's so sad. You know what? We all need a vacation. Let's go to Boca. Boca, all in favor.
Boca?
Is that where they make the Boca? Oatmeal burgers?
Boca? Boca? Boca?
Boca, anyone? Boca, anyone? Boca?
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 Boca? Boca? So, yeah, they're all like, yeah, let's go to Boca. So, then after this dinner, we go to some, like, random spa where Siggy is showing up to give advice, and she's like, the advice that I speak about and that comes out of my mouth is soup to nuts, the best thing you will ever hear.
Soup to nuts. It's the best you'll ever hear. Siggy, for instance, this is
you should put nuts in your soup. Great advice right there.
Sometimes you gotta change your texture. Put some nuts in your soup. Soup to nuts, the best advice. Literally. So this is in the beauty spa, like you said, and she's pointing at, like, things of lotion. She's like, this is so pretty. Is that my mic? Like, I need a mic. I don't even need one. I don't got an inside voice. Soup to nuts.
You know, I don't have an inside voice, but my voice comes from inside. My heart. There, soup to nuts. Another good nugget for you.
In the past year, I took off. You know, my book took off this year, so I go to towns and I give lectures. It's like she's so thrilled for every little thing. And I love that she's giving lectures in beauty shops around the world.
Yeah, she's she's like going to GNC and talking to five people.
Hello, Fantastic Sam's.
Hello, Houlihan and Lawrence.
So let's see, all the girls start coming. I love Dolores. Jody. Hey, Jody. This is also
Jody. There's always a Jody.
Yes. And this is also the beginning of Siggy just screaming hello to people in random places.
Yes. Jody. Oh, I love Jody. And look, it's Margaret, who I met through Jody. I love Jody too. Did I say I love Jody? Jody, Margaret, Siggy. Oh, that's me.
I have an announcement to make into this butter shave. Margaret, she beats to her own drum and no one tells otherwise. Margaret's like, okay, I'll take that. I beat to my own drum.
So Ziggy's like, here's my advice. This is the best advice you could ever hear outside of Boca Raton, which is my second home away from home after Israel, New Jersey, and a few other places, okay? Here's what I say. Know your worth. Thank you very much, everyone. Enjoy the scrubs.
Follow your passion. Find your passion and follow your passion, ladies. I'm not perfect, even though you can't believe it. Look at me. I had a divorce. My marriage failed, okay? And I'm a sex toy. Look at me.
When people hang on my words, it's orgasmic. Oh, 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 oh. Dolores Boca. Oh.
Even people like Ziggy Flicka get rejected, okay? But let me tell you, ladies, rejection is God's protection. Okay. That yeah, rhymes. Okay. That rhymes. But if God used protection, we never would have had Jesus.
A man's rejection is God's projection. And furthermore, I would like to ask you to all make a selection. And on top of that, we are then going to watch a movie, which will be shown on projection.
Hey, look at this. Look at this mask. It knows its worth. It's got a price tag. This mask has read my book. Ziggy Flicka, I'm out.
So then she starts signing things and Margaret comes over and she's like, hey, I've been very busy, and next week I gotta go to Palm Beach. She's like, oh, Palm Beach. You might as well come to Boca Raton.
We're gonna throw napkins up in the air.
I know. I didn't know what that really meant, but it sounded exciting.
Sometimes this show is like watching Real Housewives of Auckland or, you know, Melbourne or whatever, where there's a lot of sayings we just don't know what the hell they are. We're gonna throw our napkins up in the air. So next up is Dolores and Frankie, because it's the big packing segment. Everybody's going to Boca. I'm loving the music this year. It's a little all over because some of it's like electric guitar positivity, which I don't like that part. But I do love the doom 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 doom. It's like this jazz, like kind of funk jazz thing they've got going on, and I like it, even though it's just leading to Dolores and Frankie.
Yeah, I like to call it the Ballad of Maz.
It's like, dum, 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 god damn it. Dum, dum, dum. When are you showing up to work, you goddamn bloop, bloop, bloop.
You know
bloop,
what? He's right. He's right. I need to show up. If I need to be a woman of work, I need to show up and do the work. I can't be at home looking at cabinets and helping a Frankie with his application. I should have been on top of that. I should have been on top of Matt's. What can I say? Boo died. You know, Boo's been dead for a year now, and I got dog now. And, you know, it's good, but it's hard. I'm going to do it.
Frankie is excited about this scene as Gia is about every other scene. She's like, so, are you glad your dad's home? And he's like, but that's not convincing. And he's like, okay.
Can you take off your shirt? Okay.
Well, be nice, because I'm not here to protect you. Again, it's like abusive Frank. Are we laying groundwork for something?
I don't know. It seems like it's going to turn into one of those, like, you know, art house horror movies. Frank and Frankie left at home for the weekend. It'll be like that Roman Polanski movie where Catherine Deneuve is alone in her own apartment and goes crazy. What was it called? Like Repulsion or something? Yeah, just like that.
Who got blood on the cabinet? So next is another scene with a kid that hates the mom packing, and it's Gia just watching Tree. And Tree's like, did you have a grape? Did you have a pineapple? Did you have a waffle?
I got crispy waffles now. Huh?
Mom, they're not crispy.
Yeah, she just yawns at her. She's like, are you even looking at me? Yawn. So then Siggy and Campanella, she's like, I hope this still fits. It's me. Hey, Brandy. Hey, over there. It's like, you're in your bedroom. Stop saying hello to people.
She's like, Boca is my home away from home. My kids were born there. My plastic surgeons are there. I once saw an alligator walking across the street there. I was like, hi, alligator. You're my favorite alligator. He was like, I like you too. I'm not going to eat you. I said, great. I love you. Know your worth, alligator. I love Boca.
Know your worth. So next up is Joe, Mr. Mom. Ugh.
Like, no one. The Mr. Mom thing is played out. We saw it last season. We didn't like it. I don't want to see it again.
You're a terrible little Joe. Okay. But also, Melissa, why do you have cloth seating at your kitchen with two small children and a gorga?
I mean, why? I just can't, Ronnie. I can't.
Well, let's skip. But the huge news here in this scene is that Melissa's like, I'm going to use face. I'm going to learn to do FaceTime for naked pictures. It's like, okay, you know, Melissa's making an effort. So
life goals, you yeah. know, like crossing envy off the lists. Next are naked selfies. Okay.
So next is Boca.
Oh, it smells so good.
My babies were born there. My plastic surgeons are here. The list of why everybody loves their hometowns.
This is my favorite Chipotle in the nation, right here in Boca. They always know exactly how I like it here.
As they get out of the hotel van, she's like, could you hold my hand? I usually fall out of cars. Please fall out of cars.
Yeah. How dare that man help her out?
Sir, could you please turn on the air? I got no uterus. Like, how are people not liking Siggy?
She's the best thing that has happened to the show in many seasons. Many, many, many seasons. So they all get in the hotel. And then they go out onto, like, a balcony, and they're drinking champagne. And, like,
in the presidential suite. God. How terrifying God. Is that?
Well, unfortunately, these days it makes sense.
It's scary, the presidential yeah. suite. They have the champagne toast, and Dolores is like, I haven't had a vacation. I'm still waiting to tell you what my third business is. Cheers. And Tree's like, I haven't had a vacation in 4 years besides camps.
Except for the vacation. Yeah. She's like, I'm still on probation, but now I'm on vacation. Oh, look.
Siggy's like, can I write that down?
Just because you're on probation doesn't mean you can't go on vacation to have some motivation.
I'm using that at my next Sephora lecture. So they're all getting ready again. Mostly this episode is like, don't bum bum bum, ladies getting ready. Terrible outfits. Where did they find them? I mean, the outfits on this show are so insane. I can't even begin. I started writing some down, like Siggy's blue, like bordello stitched thing with that see-through boob under thing. I was like, this is how I'm writing it too, by the way. I was like, you got to stop saying like. Just stop trying to explain it.
By the way, did you hear my stomach gurgle just now?
No.
Okay, good.
I wasn't sure.
I can't make, you know, the stomach wants what the stomach wants, but my stomach just, as you were talking about these things, my stomach would just went like this. I like, even my stomach was like, I can't deal with these fashions right now.
Your stomach is like gross.
Yeah.
So they all meet up in the hotel room, and guess who's here? It's my friend. It's my girlfriend, Margaret. She knows Jody, who's come to my lecture 16 times.
Jody saw my lecture over at GameStop. It was great.
Now, I've never understood those, Save the Alamo hats with the raccoon tails, but I see them all the time, you know, especially, well, I used to growing up, but that's Margaret's hair. She's got double. She's like, yeah, she's got little, you know, details. Long live the Alamo or whatever. Yeah. Margaret, I like because her pigtails are ridiculous. And also because she says things like this. I call myself the powerhouse in pigtails.
Yeah. I actually like her so far as well. I don't think she's as hilarious as she thinks she is. Like the pigtail thing, it's like a very affected image that's like, no one really cares. It's like the awful bleach blonde version of Wendy's. But she's like, yeah, so I have the Macbeth collection by Margaret Josephs. And my aesthetic is Lily Pulitzer on crack meets New Jersey meets a pothole. That's what my aesthetic is. She's like, I have a company and my mom works for me. Her name is Marge Senior. And she's basically what Annie Potts will be like in 10 years. So get very excited for that.
She is. That's a good call. Annie Potts playing Marge Senior. And she's like, multi-million-dollar business, the Macbeth collection. It's like, that's terrible.
That's not a good omen.
Yeah.
You know it's cursed, right?
There's a spot on everything. Is that Macbeth? Goddamn spot.
Yes.
Okay.
I try to get it out all the time. I'm like, this damn spot out already, y'all, you know?
Pigtails and spots. She's like, I'm wacky. Look at my pigtails. Look. Everyone works at my house, which is great when I don't want to cuddle with my husband in the morning. Like, look, it's my mom, Marge Senior. And then Marge Senior's like, you know that guy I went out with the other day? He cooled me. He cooled me. And she's like, you're a hussy, Ma. You're a hussy, Marge Senior.
My senior was like, remember that time when I worked in that firehouse, but it wasn't for firemen, it was for guys who killed ghosts? Yeah, I remember those days too.
You're a hussy, Marge. You're a hussy.
So guess what? Guess what Margaret's husband's name is?
Joe.
Because we didn't have enough Joes on the shows. Now we have Joe Gorga, Joe Giudice. We have this Joe. We have Melissa's brother-in-law, Joe. We have Joe Gorga's son, Joe.
It's funny when Frank is the minority in New Jersey. It's like there's only
and there's already
Frank.
Two Franks.
Oh, two. That's Frank. True. True. So she starts telling us her story of her husband, and she's like, I met Joe because he was my contractor. He did our molding. And my marriage wasn't going so great. It was going down the tubes. So, boom, I ended up with Joe. And it was a huge scandal. But, you know, I am what I am. And it's like her on a motorcycle with Joe.
Yeah. It's never good when your love story involves the critical use mention of the word mold.
He did our molding.
So Margaret shows up in a crazy caftan and they're like, Margaret, where's Jody? Oh, no, who cares? So now they all go out to dinner. And so he's like, I can't wait to get dinner. I'm going to have a steak. I'm going to have onion rings. I'm going to have some broccoli. I'm going to have some steamed spinach. It's going to be a wonderful thing.
I love when Teresa met Margaret because she just looked her up and down like she was crazy. And then as Margaret passed her, Teresa's just staring at her butt. And she goes, Are you real blind? And she goes, well, I'm going to pull down my pants right now, even if I could, okay? It's like, ooh, Margaret's spicy. So in the van, the poor van driver is, like, bleaching his brain every time these ladies get out of the car. Someone's like, I don't want to stick my fingers in your vajayjay. Move over. I don't got a uterus.
And Siggy's yelling at Dolores, like, Dolores, open up the door right now, Dolores. Dolores. Well, I can't open the door. I got to think about Frankie. You know, I don't know what Frankie's doing right now. How can I open the door when I think about Frankie and Maz? No, boo. He's dead.
I hope Frankie's okay. So in the restaurant, okay, this is the restaurant, obviously, in Boca. Oh, my God, Siggy. Hello, everybody! Not even an exaggeration.
Yeah. She is just like, Wendy. Oh, Wendy. I love you, Wendy. Jody number three. I love you, Jody number three. You're almost as good as Jody number four. And there's Bernice. Lisa number six. Oh, my God.
One gay guy is like, oh, my God, it's Siggy Flicker, and covers his mouth. And another lady just starts shaking her head like, oh, Jesus Christ. Do we still have to pay for our meal? Are we going to have to listen to this the whole time? She's like, hey, enjoy your steak. Is that what you're having? Oh, my God, I miss you. We went to prom. Remember prom?
Yeah. And then, like, the rest of the cast is, like, sitting at the table being like, should we order? She's going to be up there for a long time going from table to table. And then Siggy just comes back with a plate of food. She's like, I stole this from someone else's table. I'm like, you can't do that. I'm like, this is actually, like, it reminded me of Katie Cazorla. I was like, this is what Katie would do. She'd walk into a restaurant and she'd say hi to everyone and then suddenly show up with food that she took from someone else.
I love that she knew the name of everybody in the restaurant. That was so, so good. So then the waiter is this really funny queen, and he's like, hey
ladies, hey, love you, hey, you want a bottle of wine? What do you want? A Cabernet? What do you want? A porterhouse sliced thin? Is that what you want? Okay, love you.
She's like, here's what I want. Okay, I want the best champagne, I want all the food, I want onion rings, and if you have any tchotchkes for Penn State, I'd like them too, because I'd like to send them to Joshua before he moves away and leaves me behind to cry by myself alone with Michael Kemp and Vanilla.
I'm not pointing at you. Don't worry, Jimmy. It's just this little finger. What about when he goes away to school? Oh, hey there, Bernice.
Just sit down, Siggy. Sit down.
I need to know. Is there a pizza press nearby? No, I don't want food there. I just need to know if I need to set up a motivational talk there instead.
Can I be the lady in the bathroom who offers towels? She'll be there, like, while you wash your hands.
Listen,
like, you're bettering yourself, so know yourself. Wash your hands and wash your thoughts, okay? That's $18, but I'll sign it.
You know what? You know what? Come see me tomorrow at Jamba Juice, okay? I'm going to be doing a very inspirational talk there, okay?
So then, Margaret, not to be outdone with the list of businesses this year of all the ladies who are just listing random things like they're trying to impress some rando on LinkedIn. She's like, oh, God, I had a busy day in Palm Beach. I got my shoe line here. Oh, yeah, I got a shoe line. I also got a clothes line. I got a change purse line. We were worried that it looked like elephant dick this morning, but my mom, what a hussy. Then we started talking about stationery because I got a stationery line, a greeting card line.
Trash cans. I make parachutes, actually. The parachutes are wonderful. They really work most of the time. I have ceiling fans. I also sell those little things that you pull down on the ceiling fan. Someone's got to make those things, little chains. Sell those. I sell those readers that you get at a drugstore, coloring books. It's great.
Wet naps, paper towels. You name it, I got it. I'm like a Margazon Prime. It's like, okay, Margaret, you're very busy, okay? And then Teresa, I don't know why everything Teresa says I have to write down, but I just love Teresa English. She's like, oh my God, this mashed potatoes is so good.
So Siggy's like, you guys, there's something I want to talk about, and I'm not sure if I want to talk about it tomorrow at the UPS store with all the people. So here's what I want to know about. I love talking to people. It is my greatest passion in the world, is spreading my supreme talent to other people. But my man, Michael Campanello, does not want me to work so hard. And then they cut to a scene of him saying, you know, you're doing like 3 engagements a week. I think you should be doing 2. And she's like, well, I'll have to think about what you're asking me to do. He's like, I'm not asking you to do it. I'm telling you. It's like, whoa. Douchebag.
Yeah, big man. But then did you catch that look she gave him? Like, you think I won't stab you because there's cameras here? Like, anybody who really believes that that man has any control over anything ever in that house, no.
Yeah.
All you have to do is look at that look she gave him. Like, I just roasted some Brussels sprouts. OMG. Don't you want my heart to sing, Campanella? Don't you want my heart to sing? My husband doesn't want my heart to sing. I just don't know what to do. And
so Margaret's response is, well, you know, it's funny that you say that because I was married to a guy, and you know, like after 17 years, I ran off with a contractor. It was a big scandal in my town, and yeah, I did that. But you know, so now I have a contractor that's my husband, and you know, that's what I do. I'm like, what does this have to do with anything that Ziggy's saying? You
no
just want
kidding.
To talk about yourself.
You didn't cheat on your husband because you had like too many businesses. These are totally different things, okay?
I think that maybe what she was trying to say is that, like, my husband knows I've got, like, 3 million businesses, and he lets me do my thing. But instead, she just wound up talking about her ex.
Yeah. Well, she's like, it's hard to balance. I just got a divorce. Like, okay, stop trying to make everybody else get divorced because it was fun for you.
Exactly. And then Siggy's like, all right, let me throw it over to Teresa for the weather at 11:25 p.m. Teresa, what do you have to say about working? And
she's like, it's an 80% chance of potatoes being goodsies.
You know, that movie, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, like, I didn't understand it because I never saw the meatballs falling, and, like, how could they fall from the sky in the first place? Back to you, Siggy.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is right behind you because that lady has meatballs. Grab them. Grab them, OMG.
Siggy with a Chance of Meatballs. By meatballs, I say love. And the chance is 100% for Joshua.
Her baton pass was so funny because she's like, here we are. Talking about husbands not wanting us to work. And then there's Teresa, who can't stop working even if she wanted to. Teresa, take it over.
It was such like a blatant, like the producers were like, could you ask Teresa about something? Sure, I got this. I can transition easily. So, anyway, about jail time. Teresa, you.
So, like, Teresa needs to say something. Can we order more mashed potatoes? No, you guys have to start it.
So okay. Teresa is basically starting to do this thing where she's like,
so like I should have been smarter, but like, you know, Joe like put me in a position where like I lost 11 and a half months to my mom, and like it's like not cool. So like,
yeah,
because
that's the position he put me in.
Yeah. So then Dolores is like, you know, I used to always say that Teresa will never leave Joe, but you know what? Now that her mom died, I'm gonna take back the would never. Okay, I'm going to take it back. I'm like, okay, I'm glad we cleared that up. So, Dolores, I was really holding you to that. I was really holding it to you.
Her psychic stuff is really weird because over at the Chinese food, she's like, I need to read my fortune first. Everybody, my ex-husband's moving back in. I was like, what does this have to do with your fortune? It's weird. So then they're like, yeah, Teresa's sad. So they're like, okay, good talk. Bye, everybody. Bye, Brittany. Bye. Goodbye, Bernice. Bye, that girl who stood at the wall of prom. I saw you. I felt for you. Your emotion needs to be your commotion, okay?
Just leave. Just leave, all of you.
I'll be at the Claire's Boutique on Boca Boulevard tomorrow giving inspiration to all the kids, okay?
So now Joe and Melissa are FaceTiming the next morning, and he's like, whoa, I got an instant hot on looking at your naked pics. It's like a boner I get from the porno, okay? Tarzan got hard. Tarzan wants to thank you. Which Tarzan? Which version? I think it's the Brendan.
It's going to be the Alexander Skarsgård. Oh, sorry.
No. Joe as Tarzan? No. It has to be where Brendan did Tarzan and lost all that weight, and then he gained a bunch of weight after.
Oh, I thought, well, that was George of the Jungle, but I thought you were saying which Tarzan would be most likely to give a boner, not which Tarzan would Joe Gorga be.
Oh, yeah. You know, Joe Gorga would before. I've said Tarzan before, and you're like, that's George of the Jungle. It's like just a recurring thing that I'm never going to learn what that movie was.
I don't know if that's the first. I think that was the first time I had to correct you on the proper white man in the jungle.
Deja Tarzan.
Yeah.
Okay, so this recap is going on forever because I had to talk about Teresa's breakfast for 30 minutes. But basically, Joe got off on Melissa's nude things, and she's like, I did it. I finally sent a nude pic.
Yeah.
Great job, and Melissa.
And Teresa's on the phone with Gia while she's learning to drive with Nono. But more importantly, we then cut to Dolores on the phone with Deb, the college tutor. And guess what? It turns out Frankie hasn't turned in any college applications. What a shock. What a shock that a kid who's 18 and has, like, a huge buff body is not interested in college.
Yeah. Who needs it? Marry up, kid. You earned it. Yeah. But Dolores is that typical parent who just forgives their kid anything and doesn't really do much to raise them, which is why she's terrified of Frank. But she's like, oh, Deb, did someone drop the ball? She's like, yeah, Frankie dropped the ball. She's like,
did he drop the ball on my new floors? I just put in the new floors, Deb. Like, you should come over, see the cabinets, see the floors. You can talk to Mads, talk to Frank. You know, Boo's not there anymore. He died. You know, but I got dog now, so dog's good. He's really cute. You'd like dog a lot. Who dropped the ball again? What are we talking about? We're going to call it Super Bowl, huh? What?
She's like, is there anything we could do? And Deb's like, well, I guess he could appeal. Like, what are you going to appeal? I didn't turn shit in on time. Can I please get an appeal? No.
How is Dolores not on top of this shit? I swear to God, when it was like college time, whoa, was my mom like, did you finish? Did you finish? Let me look your essay. Did you finish? Let me look this over. Are you done? It was like nonstop. It's like, yes, mom. You know?
Like, yeah, I feel but like Dolores barely even showed up to work until she got yelled at. And she was like, I didn't know. Like, what, was I supposed to be here on time? Like,
that's true. And she didn't seem to even notice the fact that Frankie bought a massage table for Frank Sr. to sleep on. Like, she may have some tunnel vision in her life. And I don't know where that tunnel is going.
Didn't Dolores, like, have a martini party at her gym during a Zumba class? Like, this is where Dolores' mind is at, okay? She doesn't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Siggy's like, well, you know, it's very sad, but woulda, shoulda, coulda. I'm going to write that down.
I'm going to write that down, and I'm going to tell it to the employees of Light Bulbs Unlimited.
So Melissa joins them for breakfast, and she's like, yeah, everyone needs coffee, and I need a Bloody Mary, too. And Tree joins, and she's like, I can't do that.
That was Danielle Staub.
No, but Melissa said it first.
Really?
Yes, oh, that's why I mentioned it, because it was funny when Danielle comes
sorry
in.
Sorry to know and you.
No buts.
No buts.
I had to mention that, because when Danielle comes, she's like, it's me, and I need a coffee and a Bloody Mary, both at the same time. I was like, Melissa already stole that thunder, Danielle.
Well, more importantly, Teresa was like, I'll have a mimosas. So anyway, Danielle makes her triumphant return. She's like, I'm back, bitches.
It's the ghost from Christmas past. With Christmas future's face. What is going on? That Bill Murray, what a wacky guy.
So we then, like, we have a flashback to a party that Danielle had, and we meet Danielle's boyfriend, Maddie. And Danielle's like, you know, things are really good with me and Teresa these days, and I'm hoping to someday get an apology. I'm like, If you're hoping for that apology, then things are not good.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Every clip they show of Danielle is in the past, like it happened all this time ago, but it's obviously all new scenes that just happened, but they're not putting in the show. So I don't know if that's because everybody decided to be nice in those scenes or what, but she's like, welcome to my party. And Tree's like, hey, it's your party. Thanks. Thanks for shooting that, guys.
And everyone's talking about how wonderful Danielle is. And Dolores is like, am I the one who's crazy here? Like, am I the one who thinks that Danielle is like off a rocker? Am I the one? Is that just me? Huh? Why is everyone so excited for her to come back?
And Melissa's like, call me crazy, but I really like Danielle. Yeah, of course you do. She helped get you on the show. Like, does Melissa think that everybody just forgets every plot line that ever happened? The way that she phrases things every new season, like, we know that you're friends. You had your secret Facebook messaging and all that shit. It's already been out there, and they're rewriting history. They're rewriting it.
Yeah. So Danielle is like, you know what? We have a lot to talk about. And it's like commercial, like as if she's gonna like break some news about Caroline Manzo. We knew it was all gonna be like a big nothing. But she comes back, and we come back, and she starts talking about the that crazy Kim D story that happened a few months ago, where basically one of her cars was like burnt down, and there were two bodies that were found inside of it. And they're like, Kim D thought it was her son. And they're like, oh God, Kim D, da 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 da. And this is all just to say, I was excited about this because it afforded us a flashback of Ashley pulling Danielle Staub's hair out of her head.
And Tree's like, I was part of that. I regret it, or I'm sorry. She said something like that. Which won't count as an apology. But I like that Danielle is bringing up all this stuff. Like, she's going to gossip about it and be a bitch. And everyone's like, are we supposed to laugh that she thought her son was dead for 4 hours and the car was burnt to a crisp? Like, even we're not going to make fun of that, you know? Yeah. And she's like, okay, well, the last time I saw her, she was pulling out my hair. And then Melissa's like, well, that's the last time you saw her? Then congrats. Because what does she say? She's like a nightmare or something.
She goes, she's a cockroach. You know what? She's a cockroach. So he's like, well, if she's a cockroach, she's a cockroach that I love.
Wait a minute. I'm friends with her. She's like, well, if you don't stop kissing, even if you kiss her ass, she's still going to turn on you. Yeah. And she's like, you know what? I'm still mad that you said kissing her ass. I got a lot of pride, Miss Melissa. Okay, yeah. I got a lot of pride, but I'm going to let it go because it's your birthday and I've got a plan.
Yeah. I think they're sowing the seeds of a Melissa-Siggy feud. That's what I'm sensing.
Oh yeah.
So then back at Melissa's house, we get another one of these scenes of like, oh my God, it's Joe. He doesn't know how to parent. I'm like, are we still doing these scenes? And it's like, oh, Melissa's the mean parent, but Joe's the fun one. And like his kid like wipes his face or like sort of like slaps his face with a pancake. And so then Joe takes a pancake and throws it at his kid, and it like splashes orange juice everywhere. And I'm like, how is this supposed to be entertaining? This is like irresponsible parenting, and it's
all
not
over
funny.
The cloth seating, all exactly. over it, and you know that's not stain protected. You know it's not. And also, that little kid, it needs a spanking because he's like, "Do you guys miss mommy?" And he's like, "No, she's mean."
It should be, "Don't talk that way about your mother."
Yeah, that's he's like, "Yeah, that's right. I'm the fun one." But also, I just have to mention, I loved watching Joe try to clean stuff up because he had like one paper towel to clean up orange juice off the floor, and he just kept moving the pancake around. It's like, this guy's terrible. She's going to come back, and there's still going to be like a dried up pancake on the floor and like orange juice stains everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think it's crazy that he threw a pancake at his son. I know it was all in fun and games, but my dad never threw a pancake at my face. Ever.
And the orange juice, he basically threw everything in front of him at the kid.
Yeah, that's not leading by example, Joe.
Well, guess what's happening right now? It's the most amazing thing of the season. The getting ready song. Dun, 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 the getting ready. Everybody's getting ready to have another meal. And now they're going on a boat.
Yeah, boat trip in Boca. So they're on a boat, and then Tree FaceTimes with Adriana, which was actually really, the poor little girl's crying because she misses Nonna. So there's that. And then,
it's like, let's party. We're on a boat. And then the kid's sobbing. I miss Nonna. It's like, oh, my God, you guys. You're killing me with this. Can we just have fun on the boat? Put your phone on silent.
Well, this is some of that bullshit that like reality producers do when they're trying to strive for greatness. You know, they had aspirations at one point for doing something that like profoundly affects mankind, and now they're stuck being producers on reality TV. So they try to put in stuff that keeps it real, keeps it grounded. You know, like let's have a scene of Teresa comforting her daughter because the grandma just died. Like this is real. It's dark. Like this show's about so much more. It's like I don't give a fuck. I want to see petty shit. Petty.
Well, at least they're mixing it in with close-ups of Margaret's bun that doesn't match her hair underneath. It's like, Margaret, you've got 30 businesses. How do you not have a matching bun? So then we get some commercials I have to talk about. Escape, still kicking, 4-episode event.
Uh-huh. When's that start?
November 5th. Ooh, and then there's a Will and Grace Bravo tie-in commercial where they're like, Karen is the original housewife, which she, I would agree with that. She would have been a great Real Housewife. But Lisa Vanderpump, you're not Karen. That's so weird. Like, you've obviously never watched Will and Grace if Lisa Vanderpump is Karen. What the hell?
Yeah.
And that's it. Just little comments on commercials. Just had to say.
Yeah. So then we go to dinner and...
Shooters! Let's go to Shooters! I just like the name because the show's always talking about cum and stuff. So yeah. This waiter is like, how we doing? Okay, Boca waiter.
Yeah. And Danielle's like, you know, I want to know about you, more about you, Margaret. You know, because I'm slow to warm up to outsiders. I'm like, outsiders, you just got here, Danielle. Okay. Like, I know you were around like 9 years ago, but like, let's just like keep it, like slow it down a little bit.
Yeah.
And Danielle's like, you know, because I have no idea. Intentions, Margaret. I've got naughty intentions. You want to dance on this tabletop? Margaret's like, ha, 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 ha. Anyway, I've got pigtails and migraines.
Also, stationery, tennis shoes, suitcases, lots of businesses. You want to talk about my businesses? Danielle has that look of a housewife who is determined to have a fight and really make an effort to make a splash and keep her job, which, you know, you got to say, good for you for trying. But man, she, every time she tries, no one will let her. Margaret's like, I'm not fighting with you, idiot. I'm not even going to start fighting with you. So then instead, Danielle keeps up with her and she's like, why aren't you drinking? Why aren't you drinking, Margaret? And she's like, you know what? Maybe it's because I'm a little controlling, but also I get these migraines. Well, I'm naturally high, but I do one thing. Me and my husband do one thing. It's called the pat puss. One spray on the puss and you have an incredible orgasm.
Yeah, it's just squirt, marinate. I was like, oh, that's if there was ever like a chance of me being straight, she just ruined it.
Marinate it for 20 minutes. Oh my god. My god.
So everyone's like, hey, marinate. And then somehow this gets into conversation about Melissa's bachelorette party, talking about how how Joe was controlling, and Teresa told Joe, oh, Melissa's dancing with another guy's Joe's, and they got into a big fight, and they're like, you know, he's not jealous, he's just old school. And then Siggy starts saying, you know, anytime you marry a man who's a man, like in terms of like her thoughts on guys were controlling, she basically says, you know, it's okay, because if you marry a guy who's a man, that's part of the package.
Oh, God, I have to do the actual Siggy on this, because I wrote down this whole quote. But first, it starts because Margaret's fucking with her. You know, Margaret is fucking with Siggy, because she's like, that's a real turn-on to me when guys boss you around. And Margaret's like, I think that's controlling, you know? Like, yesterday when you were saying your husband wants you to quit working so much, like, you don't find that controlling? She's like, nope, turning on. I'm turning on. And she goes, look, anytime you marry a man who's a man, I didn't marry a wussy. I didn't marry a pussy. I married a man. And Margaret goes, I don't know what that means. I looked up man in the dictionary, and I didn't see Campanella's pick there. I was like, ooh, that's such a Real Housewives of New Jersey burn.
And you know what? I'm glad you said that, because I do not support that thing that, like, in order to be a real man, you have to be stubborn and control your woman. Like, that, like, I don't like this, like, this wussy, like, a real man isn't wussy or all that stuff. Like,
well, it's Jersey. Bullshit. Oh my god, this is Real Housewives of New Jersey. This argument, it cracks me up. And also, I can imagine these women really looking up man in the dictionary and expecting to see a picture next to it. How am I supposed to even know what a man is? So then Siggy goes into her hole. Well, on the other hand, like I like a controlling man because it means he loves me. On the other hand, I think God gave me a gift. I think I'm the most talented human being on earth.
And then, you know, I love how like literal Melissa is. Like, huh? I mean, haven't you heard of Michael Jackson or Madonna or Phil Collins? Or, like, the people who composed from the band Mr. Mister. Like, I don't get it.
Or the guy who invented the light bulb.
Yeah, what's his name again?
There are a lot of talented people out there. I love that her only examples that she can think of are MJ and Madonna. Oh, Melissa. Yeah. And she has
and MJ's
her own...
dead, by the way.
And she has her own special Melissa clown music now.
Yeah.
He's good. Like a finally. Cockroach. It's like... You can't with the cockroach. Sometimes there's a cockroach, but then the cockroach, his head, but then it's still a cockroach.
Okay, Melissa. It's like, dum, 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 dum. So then Siggy starts crying again. I love to help people. How can I not help people if I'm not allowed to share my talent with the world?
I love helping people, and I love Michael Campbell. I can't talk about it anymore. And then she spills her wine on the table.
She just throws it over. She turns it completely upside down, and it splashes a little bit on Margaret. And Danielle just turns to her and goes, don't ever wear white again. Saved by the cake! We're saved by the cake! That's in my lectures. Saved by the cake! So this big cake is brought over, and they sing happy birthday to Melissa. Smellissa. What am I, in fifth grade? I hope I didn't do that on purpose.
Maybe.
They bring this huge cake, and she's like, I had a pastry cake make this cake that's specific. Like, there's a picture of Melissa standing in a store with wallpaper in the back, and look, it's the wallpaper.
It was an ugly cake. I'm sorry. It looked expensive, but it was ugly. So, yeah, she's like, it's my tribute to Melissa, my very special tribute, and it's also my tribute to Michael Campanella. He loves cake.
Melissa tribute. She even has to call Joe for permission to eat it. The inside is all missing. Kim D is at home eating it.
So the cake comes, and then Melissa starts like making a joke again. She's about Teresa calling, like tattling on her to Joe about the bachelor party. Because, you know, in typical fashion, like Melissa does not know when to leave well enough alone. So she starts making this joke, and then she's like, so she takes scoops up some of this cake. Shoves it in Melissa's face. So then Melissa takes the top tier and just throws it on Teresa's head. And so then Teresa takes the entire bottom tier and just throws it on the sidewalk. And Siggy's like, what's going on? That cake was a work of art. You threw a work of art on the sidewalk. It's like throwing my God-given talents into the ocean. It's not right.
She picks up the entire tray the cake came on and throws that. What is wrong with Teresa, you know?
But like, also, like, Siggy, you know, what, you guys weren't going to eat that whole cake, and you weren't going to take it with you guys on the plane. You know, you guys already got slices on your plates, so just calm down.
No, it was so gross. I'm with her. What's wrong with you? I mean, this is the woman who just walked into another restaurant going, Bernice, I love this restaurant. Like, you're all wrong.
Yeah.
But at least she didn't throw a whole tray of cake across the restaurant. Teresa really has issues.
I think it was wrong. I mean, don't get me wrong, I did think it was totally disrespectful, because that a cake like that costs at least $500, you know. So
she would not quit. She's just like, what, classy, we're gonna have to tell him sorry we're from Jersey.
I think they already know.
They guessed. And Margaret's like, okay, take it down a fucking notch. And then Siggy gives her, like, those chola, you want to fight arms, like, And she goes, go fuck yourself. That's a fight I'd love to see, Margaret and Siggy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'm the most talented cake picker-upper on earth.
I think a pretty solid opening episode.
Yeah, me too. I think it's going to be a pretty fun season.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Well, the trailer's great, as we know, so... So looking forward to more craziness and to see where these feuds go.
Yep. And we will be back tomorrow with Below Dick. This was a really long recap for Jersey.
It really, really was. Well, you know, I was very caffeinated personally.
Mm-hmm. But very fun. Not bad. It was really fun. It's just I'm looking at the time now and I'm like, wow, we really went there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. It was a long ass recap.
Everybody, we love you. We will talk to you tomorrow. Thanks so much for being here.
Bye, everyone. Bye.